are listening to Justice Radio on WMPG. This is the monthly Youth Justice segment with the Young People's Caucus and your hosts, Swathi and Liv. Today is the second half of a two-part series with Will Burdick about the power of authentic relationships to promote connection and healing for young people. What really struck me about this conversation was how much Will's orientation to working with young people moves beyond trauma-informed care into healing-centered engagement. You will hear him speak to what it is like to build towards holistic well-being with young people, rather than focusing on suppressing symptoms. You will also hear him speak to the beautiful promise of reciprocity when we practice healing-centered relationships. It feels deeply healing for us as practitioners, too. Towards the end of the episode, Will get specific about the ways he supports young people to connect with their bodies and build their understanding of their mind-body relationship. To close out the episode, Liv will take us through a body scan. We invite you to participate if you are in a safe space for that. And with that, we'll get into part two of our conversation with Will Burdick, a social worker and substance abuse counselor with Westbrook High School and Day One, a soccer coach, and a really genuine dude.
Is there anything else that you want to touch on, or are you feeling...
I mean, there's probably a bunch that
we
could touch on.
I know, we could go all day.
I am also, like my coaching comes in, athletics.
Tell us about your coaching.
Comes into a lot of it. So, my other passion is soccer. I coach a high school team, Wayneford High School, and I coach a club team, so I coach soccer year-round. And what I have learned from coaching and social work profession I'm in is there is so many similarities between the two. Like in coaching, I try to foster a super close knit team that's based in relationships. For preseason during high school, we take trips, we connect, we compliment each other, even if it feels uncomfortable. We get to know each other as a team. And so everything I use in coaching and the social work profession is so intertwined. At the same time, athletics, like we talked about before, is a super easy way for me to connect with kids. And I'll just go out and sometimes I'll be one-on-one in a session with a kid and we'll just play basketball, or we'll just talk about Celtics game from the night before. And so sports has been a huge part of my life, and it's been a huge part of just my growth as a person. And a lot of the kids that I work with, I think it's a huge part of their growth and development as people. And I think the connection between the two, I think that there should be more jobs, more talk about mental health among athletes, and also get moving your body and physical activity and mental health. There's so much there.
There's so much.
Yeah, that's a big passion of mine. Moving your body and just the benefits of that.
Mm-hmm.
That too. But that was just me going on a tangent.
Yeah. No, it's a valid tangent. I could also go on a tangent about the effects of trauma on the body and the mind, and I've had my own experiences with trauma, and it actually led me to quit. I was a competitive dancer and I quit dancing. And that was when it really overtook my body in many ways. And it manifests itself in such a way. And that was a setting in which I had a trusted adult and someone who I trusted. And I left dancing and I picked up field hockey. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about that when you talk, because you sound like such an incredible coach. And it sounds like you just really build relationships and you care. That wasn't the experience I had in field hockey.
Yeah.
We had a coach that criticized. We had a coach that only praised the girls who were going to go D1, you know, and it created a very different relationship dynamic among the team and also how we felt about ourselves. I only last 2 years.
Well, I was just going to say, we could also just talk about the sports and the fact that you have to be tough. Mm-hmm. Don't put your head down. And it is rooted in be strong. And just the fact that kids are not going to want to continue playing sports if they're not being treated properly, or there's not a community or relationships. There's not anything built around them. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing on the other side of things is kids that I work with, a red flag that pops up for me is if they've been playing sports, or they've been singing, or they played an instrument their whole life. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they've cut it all out, any extracurricular activities, they've cut those out. That's a red flag to me. That means they might be, they might be having some sort of depression, or they're withdrawing from where they were. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And the people they were connecting with. And like you said, maybe those were like trusted people and the thing that they're moving their body and they might be happy doing it. Mm-hmm. And so like the lack of motivation that they have, like that's a red flag. And that's honestly a super common theme that kids like might be suffering from some mental health issues and then stop playing sports, their academics might go down and they might be ineligible. Mm-hmm. And there's like such a correlation between moving your body and then, you know, how they're feeling mentally.
Yeah, it feels like it's moving your body and feeling like part of a team, mm-hmm. right? Like being part of something larger, which is like so much of what we talk about in all of our work is just like, how do we, especially emerging adults, like young people who maybe are transitioning out of high school where they like, well, just anyone, like how do we help people feel like they're actually part of something bigger? And sports teams can do that so well. And often other places like just can't. Don't mm-hmm. do that in the same way. I have a question that you don't have to answer and yeah. we also don't have to include in the thing, but it's so clear that you love like so many pieces of your role, like your coaching role and your social work role.
Yeah.
And it's so clear that it's a lot of time and work and like energy.
Yeah.
And it was striking me that like you were talking about being able to be in touch with students over the summer.
Yeah.
And that sounds like objectively a really good thing. And I just remember getting to like the summer as a teacher and being like, I need a break,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I just say that to be like, how do you, what keeps you in it? You know,
yeah.
like what keeps you well and what keeps you in it and like wanting to be in it
yeah,
and loving it?
That's a good question. And this is, again, something I talk with like the students and my clients about all the time. It's like, if I'm going to ask you to get involved in self-care for yourself, then I also should be involved in self-care. And so I stay moving pretty frequently. I go to the gym a lot. Whether I go on runs or go on walks, I try to be outside every day, you know, for a certain amount of time, walking my dog. I have been trying and do it fairly well to breathe, like do some sort of breathing exercise every day, whether it's like just when I wake up or if I'm feeling super stressed throughout the day, I just find myself doing breathing, whether it's like a 4-2-8 breathing or, you know, any of the millions of breathing exercises I have. And the thing that I have, I think I learned this from grad school, and I've been doing it so much, is like a body scan where you go from like the top of your head all the way down to your toes and you just like relax all your muscles and just like also identify like where you might have pain or where things might be tight. And just being like super in tune with your body and like being in the present. That is something I've picked up most recently because obviously sometimes the work can be like challenging and stressful. And so, you know, doing some of that and then being able to tell clients that like, here's what I'm doing and this has actually been helping me. Has been great. But yeah, moving my body as much as I can, breathing, mindfulness, staying active, and like sunlight and going outside 100% are all things I do to kind of keep myself going.
Mm-hmm. Progressive muscle relaxation is such a great tool, but those body scans are so great because it also creates like your own, especially like when working with youth, for you to build like that practice to like know like, oh my God, when I get stressed, I feel it. Like it's like a circling in my chest or it's like a wrenching in my gut or, you know, there's like an energy in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like for you to build that like serious self-awareness, because
mm-hmm.
I haven't met many men who do that, if I'm being honest. Like, like for you as, no offense, but like for you as a man to like have that like awareness and then to like go into these spaces where you're working with young men,
mm-hmm.
for you to build that practice in, like whether it's just like, okay, I see you're really escalated right now, like what are you feeling? Like where is it living in your body?
Mm-hmm.
For anybody, for like any person, any type of person to be able to like build that recognition. It just helps us all in our relationships, in our own personal stressors. Like it's like really like this route to working on so many other things.
Yeah. And like, the mind body connection is like something like every kid, I've seen most kids that I've interacted with have heard me say the mind body connection. And talk about, sometimes I'm like, well, where do you feel in your body? Sometimes I'll get like a laugh and they'll be like,
mm-hmm.
I'll be like, no, seriously, when you get anxiety, where do you feel it? I'll give you some examples. Like, do you feel hot? Like, does your head get super hot? Maybe like you turn red or you like, turn a different color. Maybe you start mm-hmm. shaking. Like maybe you clench your fists. And if they can't recognize it in the moment, then okay, like next time you get anxious, like let's see if you can understand where the anxiety, like where you're feeling it in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can not only do it for anxiety, you can do it for when I'm feeling happy. Like, where do I feel things? When I'm feeling sad, where do I feel things? When I'm feeling tired, like, where do I feel things? And so, like, having the mind-body connection, you can be like, oh, man, like, my stomach hurts. I must be mm-hmm. about to get anxious. And then that's like a perfect place where you can intervene before mm-hmm. you might have an anxiety attack or like a panic attack. And so like that is a total huge part of my role.
Or to watch yourself grow.
Yeah.
Like I can tell you right now, I'm so nervous recording this that I can feel it like coming from like my right shoulder blade, like into like my neck and like down like my right arm. Like I can feel that and I know it. And now that we've had this conversation, the next time I record, I'm going to be like, is it still there?
Yeah. No, I was going to say the same thing. Like the, like being able to notice, like especially with something like anxiety or depression, but like things that like wave through like every day, you know, like I just like hits like waves of whatever, to notice them like crest and fall. What's the opposite of crest? Fall?
Wane?
I don't know. To like notice your like whatever, to notice your like wave of anxiety and like wherever it happens to you, but then also to notice it like release. I feel like when I like learned to be in touch with my body in that way was when I could actually like release it in my mind too. Because otherwise it felt like I held on to something that I was anxious to, even though my body had like started to let it go, if that makes sense. And I hadn't even like, I hadn't noticed, like I hadn't listened to it.
Yeah. No, that's totally accurate. And it goes into it in school. It's like, what strategies can we implement to get students to be able to do them in class or on a bus or like in any environment, and just like doing a body scan and being aware of how you're feeling and doing breathing, like simple things like that, they can do them in any environment. I think it's pretty powerful.
It is so powerful. Like if someone had, like I said before, like my trauma manifested itself in my body and it turned into fibromyalgia, which is basically umbrella term for how your body react and your mind react to like general stresses and like your life traumas, because your brain is a bundle of wires. And like when trauma happens, it starts sending out like fight or flight signals and just stress signals like again and again. And eventually like your body breaks down and your nerves start picking up on pain signals. And so like when I left sports, I had like no movement in my body. So I lost that brain mind body connection. And so especially with young people who are experiencing some serious stuff, to have like a trusted adult in their life too, to like help them like have those body scans and like have those like moments, like it just keeps that awareness like going. When like that's such like a pivotal moment for like you to lose it all and like for it to like take over. So
yeah.
How do you model it with like, I don't know. I love what you're doing with it.
Yeah. I think the best way that I've figured out to do it is like kind of be silly with it. Like kind of joke around with them. Like I feel like when I get anxiety, like I might feel like a little bit like, like I might feel like shaky or wavy or like, you know, I might like show it. And then it's like, all right, well, like, where specifically do you feel it? I give like examples, obviously, of how I might clench my fists or feel super hot, or like I know my face gets red, different things, and I might give them examples and then just make, you know, have fun with it, and also ask them to do their best to like record it in the moment, because it's hard to remember. It's hard to like think back a couple of days, remember when I was anxious, like what did that feel? It's like doing their best to record it in the moment, and because they're not always, you know, anxious when we're meeting for an hour a week. So like a lot of this has to do with like the homework that kids do, and like really doing the work on their own. Try to make it fun, try to make it silly, and give them as many examples as I can that like I've experienced or other kids that I've worked with have experienced.
Also, I guess like casual.
I feel
like
like they're like, they don't react to like, you know, like the social worker coming in being like, where do you feel it in your body? like instead, like you're saying, just like slipping it into conversation and normalizing it.
Yeah. And I might say like, hey, I know you're going to think this is silly, or like this might seem kind of dumb to you. I'm going to be honest. Like, and that's okay. It can seem dumb to you. Let me just explain this, or like just give this whole, if you could just try this one time, like it would be awesome. But I also understand that, like, it might feel a little funny to you.
Yeah.
Also, just, like, being realistic and understanding that high schoolers, it might take 5 or 6 times when you're asking them for them to actually try something. So, yeah, being realistic with them.
I remember the first time someone told me, like, have you tried breathing? And I was like, buzz off. Like, no way you're going to tell me to breathe right now.
Right.
And then one day you're just like, you have to, like, figure it out on your own. Like, I was talking with, like, my aunt about this, about, like, people being like, have you tried breathing? And it doesn't work until people say it enough, and then, like, you try it on your own, and then you realize it for yourself that something like that works.
Yeah.
The value of, like, showing them videos or clips of like potentially people they look up to, celebrities, or like famous figures, or like even if they're like their parents, or like again a teacher at school was like, yeah, like you might want to try this too, like if they get different perspectives on it. And I mean the most powerful is their peers, like if their peers are saying like, hey, I actually did this once and it worked out for me, should give it a try. Like that's, I think that's the most powerful measure they can get, is from a friend.
Yeah, this connection made sense to me, and maybe it'll make less sense now, but it, I feel like when I learned to like get curious about it, you know, like I remember the first time that I figured out how to like relax my eyebrows. You know that feeling of just like, oh, I didn't even know I could like do that. Like, I didn't know I could like not furrow my brow. Anyway, it was just like this kind of like, I had like a moment of wonder around that. And I think that's like part of it too, is just being able to be like really curious about your body. Like you're getting to know someone, and there's, yeah, there's something like wonderful in that, that I think helps like contextualize everything, you know, like helps make it less heavy. Like we were talking, like you were just saying, like it doesn't, it can be like a joyful exploration too.
You're listening to Justice Radio with Swathi and Liv, and our guest, Will Burdick, who is a social worker and substance abuse counselor with Westbrook High School and Day One. Now back to our conversation.
Well, I know one of the questions that we like to close with, if that's a good point, if we're at, but is there something else that you were going to ask first?
Maybe this one too.
Yes, I think both of them maybe. Also, I was just thinking maybe we should open this episode or close it with a progressive muscle relaxation. Would that totally weird them out?
No, that, I like that. You'd be like, this is going to be silly.
This is where we're starting today.
The five senses.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Here, why don't you ask?
Okay. So we have two questions for you. Yeah. So we have some mutual homies out there that are hopefully listening to this.
Hopefully.
So what is one thing that you want young people and the young people that we work with to know and take away from this conversation? You can take a minute to think about it.
Yeah.
Or take away in general, like what's something that you want them to hold with themselves, like as they're moving into like a new phase in life?
Actually, I think it's pretty simple. It's to create as many relationships as you can, create as many positive relationships as you can, meet as many good people as you can, and like get out of your comfort zone to meet people. The more relationships you make, the better you're gonna be in life. Like you said, my role in our conversation kind of revolved around relationships. I'm just thinking about the reason I'm here is because of people I've met along the way and the relationships I've made. So the more positive and healthy people and relationships you can make in your life, just like go and do it, and continue doing it. Like if you think you have enough, you don't, just like keep going.
Do you want to ask the last one?
So for those mutual homies out there, we also have been hoping when we're working on it, but that these episodes are like a conversation between adults who are working with young people and then young people directly. Like our first episode was a round table with some of the young people we're working with. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to have each episode end with some questions that people have for each other. So what's a question or a couple questions you have for the young people who we work with?
Yeah.
What would you want to know?
I would say, think about the people in your life that you trust and you feel safe with. And why do you feel that way around them? Because the why is what will allow people like us, like social workers in school, or, you know, different people in your life, to also potentially be trusted people in your life. So think about like the why, like what has this person done in my life to have this relationship with me? The other thing, which is like a pretty, like a classic question, but what do you wish like adults or professionals like got, on in quotes, like got about you? And then the other one is what makes you feel like safe or seen? Mm-hmm. They kind of all have a general theme, but like what makes you feel safe? What makes you feel seen?
I love it.
I love that.
All right, we can close with, I pulled up my favorite progressive muscle relaxation script. Yay! We could do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, that sounds like a great way to end the workday too.
I know. Oh my God, it is the end of the workday.
Yeah, I'm gonna go pick up Bobby after this.
Yay. Okay.
Okay, so I'm reading a progressive muscle relaxation script from therapistaid.com. It's a PDF. It's free. It's right there. So you can read this yourself or you can read it aloud for a friend. And I'll just say a little bit about progressive muscle relaxation. It's an exercise that reduces stress and anxiety in your body by having you slowly tense and then relax each muscle. This exercise can provide an immediate feeling of relaxation, but it's best to practice frequently. With experience, you will become more aware of when you're experiencing tension, and you will have the skills to help you relax. Just like Will said.
I was going to say, it might feel funny, but the cool kids practice muscle relaxation.
Mm-hmm. People around this table here mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so unless you're driving, which please don't do this if you're driving.
Sit back.
It's a good warning.
It is a good warning. Also, another warning that I like to do when I run people through this is that if at any point your body feels too uncomfortable to be present with it, because sometimes that doesn't feel safe, feel free to just not participate in this activity. Pause the playlist or pause the Spotify and do what you need to feel well. Okay. Sit back or lie down in a comfortable position. Shut your eyes if you're comfortable doing so. Begin by taking a deep breath and noticing the feeling of air filling your lungs. Hold your breath for a few seconds. Release the breath slowly and let the tension leave your body. Take in another deep breath and hold it. Again, slowly release the air. Even slower now, take another breath. Fill your lungs and hold the air. Slowly release the breath and imagine the feeling of tension leaving your body. Now, move your attention to your feet. Begin to tense your feet by curling your toes and the arch of your foot. Hold on to the tension and notice what it feels like. Release the tension in your foot. Notice the new feeling of relaxation. Next, begin to focus on your lower leg. Tense the muscles in your calves, hold them tightly, and pay attention to the feeling of tension. Release the tension from your lower legs. Again, notice the feeling of relaxation. Remember to continue taking deep breaths. Now tense the muscles of your upper leg and pelvis. You can do this by tightly squeezing your thighs together. Make sure you feel the tenseness without going to the point of strain. And release. Feel the new sensations in your muscles. Begin to tense your stomach and chest. You can do this by sucking your stomach in. Squeeze harder and hold the tension a little longer. Release the tension. Allow your body to go limp. Let yourself notice the feeling of relaxation. Continue taking deep breaths. Breathe in slowly, noticing the air fill your lungs and hold it. Release the air slowly. Feel it leaving your lungs. Next, tense the muscles in your back by bringing your shoulders together behind you. Hold them tightly. Tense them as hard as you can without straining and keep holding. Release the tension from your back. Feel the tension slowly leaving your body and the new feeling of relaxation. Notice how different your body feels when you allow it to relax. Tense your arms all the way from your hands to your shoulders. Make a fist and squeeze all the way up your arm. Hold it. Release the tension from your arms and shoulders. Notice the feeling of relaxation in your fingers, hands, arms, and shoulders. Notice how your arms feel limp and at ease. Move up to your neck and your head. Tense your face and your neck by distorting the muscles around your eyes and mouth. Release the tension. Again, notice the new feeling of relaxation. Finally, tense your entire body. Tense your feet, legs, stomach, chest, arms, head, and neck. Tense harder without straining. Hold the tension. Now release. Allow your whole body to go limp. Pay attention to the feeling of relaxation and how it is different from the feeling of tension.
begin to wake your body up by slowly moving your muscles, adjust your arms and legs, stretch out, and open your eyes when you're ready. I bet yours would have been a lot goofier than that.
Yeah.
Would it?
But that felt great.
Good at that.
Thank you. That's what I've heard. I was actively shaking as I was reading that.
See, now I need like a Will goofier like version of it.
Yeah, I literally just like, I tell like, well, if like somebody's in my room, mm-hmm. like sometimes if I'll be like, stand up, and I'd be like a toy soldier like this.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, and like, literally tell me like how that felt like this, and then how it felt. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Whenever.
Or like I like to even just shake it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feels like
anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like smile like.
Yeah, like make the goofy face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something like that.
When it was the face like direction, I was thinking of how people put Oreos on their face and they try and like contort their face so they get the Oreo in their mouth. And I was like, yeah, just make a funny face. Act as if you're trying to get an Oreo like off your forehead. Yeah.
I feel more relaxed.
Uh-huh. Yay. I'm glad.
As we're doing that, like, this is, toddlers are so, oh, this mm-hmm. doesn't have to be this.
Okay,
toddlers are so good at this.
Toddlers like, so good at this.
Are good at, like, tensing their whole, like, some people tense his whole body. You know, like, I felt, when you said the whole body thing, I felt like mm-hmm. I was, like, throwing a tantrum.
Yeah, I was like,
you know, I felt like I was about to throw a tantrum, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's what they do. And then they do, like, sometimes I pick him up, and he's so heavy because he's just, like, his whole body is, like, he's just let mm-hmm. go completely, you know? Mm-hmm. He's, like, I mean, he's not literally heavier. Why does that happen? But anyway, mm-hmm. it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn from him.
Yeah. Well, we can close this out now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Will, for talking with us today. It was so great to get to like share this space with you. I feel like we talked about so much.
Yeah, probably talked about a lot, got on some weird tangents, but this is the first podcast I've ever been on, so.
Yay!
Appreciate it.
Great.
And yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, thank you. I feel your energy. It's really nice. Yeah, it's really nice to feel like the like energy and love that you bring to this.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Love it. You're doing great work. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to the Youth Justice segment on Justice Radio. We hope you are able to take pieces of this healing and hopeful conversation with you as you continue your day and week. We invite you to continue these kinds of conversations about youth justice, healing, and well-being with us through our Instagram at YPC Maine, where an amazing group of youth leaders post about policy, culture, and opportunities in change-making spaces. Please feel free to DM us with suggestions for what you would like to hear on this podcast, or if you would like to join us for a conversation. And finally, a big thank you to Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series.